We're streaming live on the World Wide Web at kmud.org.
Maya's in the wing, standing by to talk a little bit about the pepper spray trial with Spring. Thank you, Maya Portugal, for joining us, coming down from Arcata. VR's calling Spring right now. We're hoping we'll also have one of the jurors joining us. But Maya, first question. I saw this article in the Times Standard when Nancy Delaney was somehow trying to steal the win away. It's like, excuse me, how poor a loser can you be? How do you feel? Do you feel like we won this case?
I feel completely victorious, and I feel great about what happened. And it was never, ever about money for me or I think for any of us. So this was definitely a victory, and I just feel like it was 8 long years coming, and we finally have it, and it's amazing.
So. I've been around the plaintiff's last trial and this trial, and it's true. I never
She's
once
a plaintiff
heard.
Groupie.
Sue and I are both plaintiff groupies. That's right. But what you can't help but have just the deepest respect for the people who not only did the action, went through 2 incredibly tedious, torturous trials before winning this third time. So, you know, basically you've gone through this torture 4 times.
Basically, it's been really hard, and all 3 trials were, you know, very difficult to sit through and watch the videos over and over again, and I just feel so happy about this victory, and I still can't believe that it's over. I get little flashes of, whoa, we won.
So, the mantra. So, you were only 16 years old.
I was at the time, yeah.
And you sat in Frank Riggs's office.
Yes.
How did that incident, like, change your life? How did it shape you?
In many, many ways. But, you know, we had this idea of going in there and speaking with our congressman and getting a point across and trying to get some media about the issues that are going on here in Humboldt County, and it ended up being this 8 years of trials. And
and you thought up this action, right?
Well, I was the first to volunteer to get arrested, and then Lisa and Terry and Bonka all joined in afterwards. So yeah, it changed me in many ways. I mean, I feel very different about the police than I did at the time of the incident. And
this was your first lockdown.
This is my first lockdown, yeah.
And did you go in there feeling like you were so right in what you were doing?
Definitely. Yeah. I went in there feeling righteous and awesome and like we were going to go make a point. And I feel like this has been such a long practice in Humboldt County. We all kind of thought we knew what we were in for, and then everything changed. And yeah, but we won.
Yay. And we did win. Mm-hmm. And Spring, are you here?
I am.
Hey, oh,
good.
Spring.
Yeah, let's see, get her up a little bit. So Spring, yeah, why don't you address this question about, I mean, I think we need to double check with all of the plaintiffs since, you know, Nancy's trying to steal this win. How do you feel about the verdict?
I totally echo Maya's sentiments. It is quite a victory, especially in these times when fear is force-fed down Americans' throats about terrorism and protest, and we got to give up some freedoms to have freedom, and all this Orwellian definition. It's really quite a victory to get 8 Americans to vote against what the police did in a certain instance. And if any case could win that and do that, it's ours. And it is disturbing that it took this many years, but after 7.5 years, 3 trips to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, 3 trips to the Supreme Court, and 3 jury trials, we finally have a unanimous verdict. And Nancy Delaney can't take that away. The law enforcement defendants can't take that away. It really is quite a victory.
Yeah, it seems to me that a little bit I've read about what law enforcement in Humboldt County has said, it seems like they're being a little bit more thoughtful and circumspect about it all than Nancy Delaney.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
That's right. I don't know if you've said this already, but Nancy Delaney's law firm also represents Pacific Lumber Maxam in their current slap suit against activists. So there really is an ethical conflict of interest, and she took on this case in part to make a lot of money, and also ideologically she's representing the lumber company as well. And the interests of the county and the city are not the same as the lumber company. We see silt coming down onto people's homes. We see people's workers' homes getting buried in mudslides. And there really is a crisis going on, and that's what Maya and I felt when we did our sit-ins so many years ago. And it's really coming to bear now with the company threatening bankruptcy and all these things happening. So
yeah, so I'd like to ask both of you, I guess I'll turn to Maya now, about, you know, comparing how the different trials went, starting with the first one to the third one.
I think we definitely perfected it by the end.
Obviously.
It was so different each experience for myself, getting up on stand each time. It was like, 16 to 23 is a big growing process, so it was a whole different experience for me from the first trial till the third trial. And I just think that our lawyers did such an amazing job at this trial, and they knew what they were talking about, and they believe, they themselves are activists, and they're just really awesome people, and they did such an amazing job this time. I think that
they definitely believed in you guys, and
yeah.
They worshipped you. They were plaintiff groupies also.
And lawyer groupies.
Yeah. Spring, would you care to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, well, definitely what Maya said, for us, we definitely got stronger each trial. And for the defense, it was really interesting, sometimes painful to hear, but their redefinitions, their word games, and the way they pitched the story to the jury really changed. And over the years, it's like they realized that people are caring, feeling human beings who have emotions as well as rational thought. And I think they really saw that they had to pitch the story like they cared about our safety, and like they pepper sprayed us to avoid a more serious injury. And it really was a word game. And some of the jury saw through it. Eventually this trial, all of them saw through that. But it was amazing. I mean, when the images hit the news, they weren't prepared for a spin doctor campaign at all. They said things like, oh, we had to get them out of there fast, or, oh, you don't understand what it's like in Humboldt. We got to deal with these people. And that's why we got so much community outrage originally. And then once we got in the courtroom setting, they probably hired some kind of, PR spin doctors or something, but they really started rewriting history, or attempting to.
And that was in the first trial, with the first trial.
Starting with the first trial, but they perfected that tactic. And by this third trial, it was such an uphill battle, because we have to remember, we've got ingrained teaching from a young age that law enforcement are there to serve and protect. And that's what I was saying. It's really hard to vote against the cops sometimes for people. And then when they were pitching the story that they pepper sprayed us for our own good, and they were compassionate, and Sheriff Phelps got up on the stand, and really, he deserves an Academy Award, but he was trying to portray himself as, caring about our safety. But I have to say, I lived those events so many years ago, and he was really out there pushing this pepper spray policy, and it was about intimidation.
I have to say that the safety rhetoric. Hey, Spring, this is Remedy.
Hi, Remedy.
Hey, so this is all making me think of safety. Yes, recall Paul Gallegos, right? And that's the reason they took us out of the trees forcibly, was for our safety. And I remember Karen Pickett telling KMUD News that she realized that the lawyers for the defendants really didn't have too many tricks up their sleeve. That it really became evident over the trials that they just, didn't have much to defend themselves with, and so they really stuck to like the safety rhetoric for one thing, and it really is fear mongering.
Well, they did, and they stuck to what worked for them mm-hmm. in the other two trials, and mm-hmm. they knew all they had to do was reach one juror in a big way,
mm-hmm.
and because they cared about was hanging the jury. They didn't care about a.
That's true, and they would use more of our taxpayer money the longer this dragged out. I want to remind people that Maya and I and the rest of the Pepper Spray 8 offered settlement offers two different times, because it really was never about the money. And we never thought we'd get any money, and we hoped that they would admit that they had broken the law and crossed the line and not spend taxpayer money defending this kind of abuse. And they just kept on. And I have to blame the law firm as well as, the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors and all the defendants. But one of the fear tactics, what they were hoping would work for just one of the jurors, was trying to equate us with terrorists. And I really feel that it's quite insane to try to do that. You're looking at peaceful sit-ins, and they're really trying to conjure up the terror. And one of the examples is, during closing arguments, Bill Bragg, who was one of the lawyers for the defense, he equated us to Nazis going into, a Jewish neighborhood or something like that. And he literally chanted, "Kill the Jews, kill the Jews." And
right.
My jaw dropped open. I find that so offensive. And I know from talking with the jurors that they thought he went way too far with that. He also equated us with the KKK saying, "Go back to Africa." So they went so overboard. They felt they had to. They were worried.
Yeah, I think that the images are so shocking. The tapes of the incidences are so shocking that Bill Bragg was probably trying to outdo it.
Diffuse that.
Right. And instead, he just made himself look like a fool.
Right.
Yeah, the closing arguments were for the defense was surprisingly weak. Because I actually think Bill Bragg is a very...
He's a smart man.
Very smart lawyer. He was very capable in his examination of the witnesses. And, he had me worried a couple of times. And I think it was also very telling that, you know, the defense presented their case after we presented ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, obviously some of the jurors were confused by a lot of the stuff that they were fed. And it took... watching the videos again. We were hoping to hear from one of the jurors, and we aren't sure she's going to be able to call in or not. But Spring, you had dinner with her last night.
Yeah, we met with some of the jurors, Connie Chandler, who we're hoping will call in, and also one of our jurors from the second trial who wanted to meet some of the jurors from this trial and thank them for coming to unanimity. So that was really a sweet
right. That was Helen, who we heard on Women on Wednesday. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's right, Helen Moyatt. And, I mean, I feel like we should address some of the misconceptions out there. Maybe you already have, but...
There were a
couple of press articles were really quite biased against us. I mean, this is a huge victory, and back in the day when we had a biased judge, our case got thrown out super temporarily. It was very quick. And, of course, during that little window of time that our case was out of there, they used pepper spray again. But, when our case got thrown out, the national media covered it, CNN, and it was in all the papers. It's like they wanted to spread the word to law enforcement, hey, their case got thrown out, you can do this to people. But now that we've won, we definitely have gotten media coverage. I mean, it was in AP articles all over the country, but it's not the same level. And that's why I have to give a plug to KMUD. We really have to make our own media. But KMUD has been great, and we really have to spread the word about this victory. There were two headlines. Air cloudy after pepper spray trial. That was the time standard. And the air is quite clear to me. It's actually clearer now that we've won. It's feeling great. It shouldn't be cloudy except for the redefinition game that Nancy Delaney and the defense are playing. And also there was one in the Santa Rosa Press Democrat split verdict in pepper spray case. And there was no split verdict. They all finally came to the unanimous conclusion that it was excessive force. And there was this $1 issue, and people in this culture are very focused on money. What my response to that would be is that the defense has spent almost $1 million defending this abuse, and that's a lot of money, and I wish they hadn't spent it. That's why we offered the settlement, but that's a huge deterrent. Three trials and, you know, holding these policymaker officers liable, that's a huge deterrent. And then finally, the decision against the police is the final clincher. And it's a major victory. And if they hadn't watched the videos, some of the defense's tactics might have gotten to some of these people. But really, I have to give my wholehearted praise to Connie Chandler and some of the jurors who were strongly in our favor, because they made these folks watch the videos. And some of the folks were on the fence, you know, and they were really torn because the law enforcement had put such a good spin on things. And then once some of the jurors made the deliberations, you know, look at the videos, people looked at it and they said, oh, wow, okay, I see now. This is excessive.
All right. Hey, Alicia Littletree is joining us now, and I think she's at KMEC in Ukiah. Is that true, Alicia?
That's right. I'm live streaming this interview on KMEC 105.1 in Ukiah out of the Mendocino Environmental Center.
Right. Cool. All right.
Right on. So would you like to add something to this discussion? You have any questions, answers?
Do you want to introduce Alicia?
Alicia Littletree, paralegal.
Extraordinaire.
On both the Judy Barry versus the FBI trial and the pepper spray trial.
Well, I think I'm going to have a ritual burning of my court clothes. I'm so liberated that I never have to put those clothes on again.
You're looking pretty chic, I thought.
Pretty chic. Actually, you too, Spring. I mean, you know, I could see you heading into the legal profession.
Almost conservative.
I think I'll stick to music. I'm going to start putting out an album.
We had dinner with Connie Chandler, one of the jurors, last night in San Francisco, and from what she said and from a juror from the last trial, Helen said, what we wore in court was like on their minds. You know, it's so crazy when you think about how this legal system works, that these eight people sitting in this box, you know, when they get bored, what do you think they do? Their eyes wander and they check everybody out, you know, and it's like...
What did they think about your outfits?
Do you remember what she said, Spring?
Well, Helen said the last time that court clothes were very cobbled together from donations for different people, and she thought last time I looked more kind of more me or more homey, but I told her, you know what, those clothes didn't fit me very well. This time I got a lot better with the wardrobe.
Yeah, I mean, not a major point, but I mean, it's almost voodoo, I think. And I really liked how each of the plaintiffs took on a juror and visualized. You know, the legal team was incredible, and we worked really hard, and just, you know, there's like dozens of years of amazing civil rights experience among all of the attorneys involved in the case. And so that's definitely a big part of it, but then there's all this kind of juju part of it, too. And also, not to mention the fact that the courtroom was full of people most of the trial. That was great.
Yeah, it was.
This really
much
was
better than
a
last
people's
time.
Lawsuit. I don't want to talk over y'all. We have so many good gals on this show. It's great. This really was a people's lawsuit, and we wouldn't have been able to win it without every ounce of effort and help. And we were on a shoestring budget, and people were always donating like $5 here, $20 there, and the courtroom packed. It really was such an effort. There's so many people to thank. We'd be on this on camera for hours.
Hello, Connie. Is this Connie Chandler?
Yes, it is. Hello?
Oops, it's okay.
Hi,
we're going to deal with feedback. Great. Thank you so much for calling in, Connie.
Oh, you're welcome.
Can you tell us just real briefly a little bit about yourself? Had you ever been on a jury before? Did you expect to get on this jury?
Excuse me. Yes, it was the first time I've ever been on a jury, and I actually didn't think I'd get picked.
And why was that?
Well, the questions they asked, I didn't know if I answered them correctly. I really didn't know what to expect.
Uh-huh. And at what point in the trial did you start thinking maybe it was excessive force?
The very beginning.
Like after you saw the video?
Right. When I saw the videos, I just thought what the police had done was very excessive and wrong.
Yeah.
It's hard not to gather that from watching those videos.
Well, you know what was so fascinating to me during the jury selection? There were a number of people in the jury pool that had seen the video, and you hadn't seen it yet, right?
I hadn't seen it. I hadn't even heard of it in 97 when it first happened. But I was aware of the the headwaters being cut down,
right,
and people protesting. So, in a way, I'm kind of glad I didn't see it back then.
Yeah.
Seeing it fresh and new, I think, made more of an impact on me.
Yeah.
But it was, I can't believe some people who thought that they, you know, that were saying, they didn't use excessive force, and I totally feel they're wrong.
Right, and you actually, you know, you had to deliberate with a number of people that thought that, right?
Right.
So you know, can you tell us a little bit about that process of the jury coming around, how that happened?
It was almost at the very last minute when they finally did come around. And three of us who were very much in support of the plaintiffs were very afraid it was going to be a hung jury. Three of us were sitting there talking and hoping that they would come around. And they finally did.
And was it like one by one, or did they all move en masse? How?
It was basically one by one. One person, he was actually our the spokesperson.
Foreperson.
Who was very adamant till the very end that he didn't feel that it was excessive force.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you just keep watching the videos?
We just
over?
Kept watching the video and said, do you see this? Does that look excessive to you? What part does not look excessive? Don't you see that what they're doing, you know, to these people just is wrong and callous?
And just by doing that process over and over, each person came around.
Yes.
Wow.
We were very happy, although I felt that they should have been awarded some money.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that was very upsetting to me.
I know. I watched you and Tony during when the well, you could barely even say.
I couldn't even say.
You
I almost said
say.
No. And if I had said no, then I was afraid. Oh no, this will be another hung jury, and it'll get thrown out, and they'll have to do this all over again. So
right.
I had to say yes.
Were you aware that there had been two other trials already?
Actually, I did.
Yeah, you did know that. Yeah, because
yeah.
There was references to other testimonies
yeah.
and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I know these trials have a very profound effect on a number of jurors. Would you care to talk a little bit about the effect that this trial has had on you?
It has just made me see our legal system in a different light. It has changed me. I feel like I want to do more to help their cause. I think that's how it's really changed me. I belonged to Greenpeace many years ago, and it's really made me want to get back and just become more active in, you know, helping the planet and stopping more destruction of our forests and pollution and, you know, other things that we're doing to the planet.
Yeah, now that would be a news story, Connie. Pepper spray juror locks down in Humboldt.
Yeah. It doesn't get pepper sprayed.
Woohoo! So
you keep in contact with us, Connie.
and what did you think of the attorneys in the trial? We could start with our attorneys.
I loved them. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
They did a wonderful job, and they put so much time and effort into this, and that was another reason why I wanted some compensation because of these people that worked so hard, you know, and they gave so much of their life.
So I'm kind of just curious. In the end, was it just that one foreperson holding out that made there not be any damages awarded?
Yeah.
Well, no, actually,
there were a couple people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
yeah.
felt. Now, we don't think they should get anything. They broke the law. They, should not be awarded. So,
how did you decide on the foreperson, Connie?
Well, it was we took a vote, and I had no idea what he really thought because we can't talk. We were not supposed to talk and say, this is how I feel, you know, before the deliberation. So we voted him in based on his being like a strong person, we felt. So we voted him in, and then after he started with his views, I felt we kind of made a mistake.
And did you vote on him at the very end of the trial or near the beginning?
Basically, we were kind of like at the very beginning, we went to him for, what his thoughts were. Not thoughts, but he just seemed like the stronger person.
Right.
And we thought it would be a good idea to have him. Everybody wanted him as a leader, and like I said, I regret that, but...
Well, I feel... this is Spring, Connie. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I really feel that you emerged as a strong leader, and you really led the deliberations into looking back at the videos, which are hard to watch.
They are.
And I really thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is the first jury.
This is such a time and effort.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
So you're the first jury that did that, Connie.
I was adamant. I kept saying, look at the video. Don't you see? What don't you see that does not look like excessive force? What it was just beyond my comprehension that they had to be made to look at it over and over and over again. When I saw it from the very beginning, I felt even when I was first picked, I had an inkling of where I was going, you know, and I don't...
Yeah.
Connie, you said that some of the jury talked about the desensitization of television. Could
yes.
you share that a little bit?
Yes, we talked about how we, you know, a lot of us are hardened by all the crime on we see on TV, whether it's, you know, a TV movie or the news. So I think a lot of people are desensitized, even when they're watching something that's really happening to real people. It's almost to them, it's not real. It's a fantasy. When I saw it, I, you know, it made me tear up and I felt, you know, their pain and, their fear.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are just hardened, and I feel like, you know, some of the jurors, you know, were a little hardened.
Right. Do you have a television? Do you watch TV?
I watch TV, but I don't like to watch the news.
Right.
It's just, I think it's negative. Everything on the news is negative. If they had a positive news station, I'd be watching it every day. But
right.
Well, now we're making the news, so you helped make some good news happen.
Well, we need to wrap this up. Does anyone have any final statements they want to make?
I'd like to just, this is Maya. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Maya.
I just want to say thank you again to you, and you're really inspirational to me, and you made my life much different for giving us a positive verdict. And it's so good to hear you say that you would like to do something for the planet coming from this case. So I just want to say that makes me feel really, really amazing. And thank you again for everything you did for us.
Oh, you're welcome. I don't think I really did that much. I mean, I don't know.
You did, though.
It sounds like you moved.
Turned the ship around.
You turned the ship around.
Yeah.
I think it's really profound that the person that people thought was the big leader mm-hmm. ended up going along with everyone else.
Yeah, it is.
It's very
yeah.
deep.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm so happy, you know, and I feel I'm going to pledge some to, you know, to help.
You know, right on.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Oh, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And we've been speaking with Connie Chandler, one of the jurors in the pepper spray trial, Maya Portugal, one of the plaintiffs, Spring Lumberg, another plaintiff, and Alicia probably came and went.
Yeah,
but,
we lost Alicia.
But thank you. And I have to say that I imagine Kaymud was probably the first media to break the pepper spray story.
That's where I found out about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would have been the place that it was heard first.
That's true, actually. I remember people saying, you really should talk about what happened on the radio. And I didn't want to talk about it. I was ready to move on and try to have some, you know, better experiences like tree sitting or, mm-hmm. you know, try to get back to the forest. But people really impressed upon us that we had to talk about it. We had to file a civil rights case.
This was a major violation.
And finally, vindication.
Yay.
Yes, yes. And it is. It's a really deep story how it all came about. So,
well, I have to plug the website really quick. I know we're about to go, but nopepperspray.org has a lot more information and has courtroom drawings and victory photos and audio files and all kinds of things. So
yeah.
nopepperspray.org.
Okay, and I can't wait to see you back at home, Spring.
Yay, I'll be home soon.
Casey Neal Victory Party, May 14th at Beginnings. Be gone, huh?
That's right. The Casey Neal Show and also the Pepper Spray Victory Party, May 14th, Beginnings.
Okay.
Yay.